I really admire one of the guys in the past that I really admired, even though I know that it wasn't God's will for him to go to heaven so early, was John G. Lake. He had a ministry, I believe, in Spokane, Washington. Is that right? It was called the healthiest city in the nation at one time. Now here's what he did, and this is part of what God has laid on me a long time ago. Here's what he did. He had a group about like this, probably a little smaller to begin with. He'd take this group and push them into God as far as he could push them. Get them to training themselves in God, under him, training, receiving all of God's power. Then he would put, as a graduation ceremony, he would put two or three with a cancer patient, lock them up in a room. They graduated when that cancer patient was healed, free and clear, diagnosed by the doctors. That was graduation.
Well, Pastor, I thought you were tough. I don't know now. Maybe I need to rethink this issue.
Well, we're going to do that too. So I got room to get tougher. Healthiest city in the nation, and they laid it all on his ministry. That's a pretty big thing, folks, in the United States. Of course, it ain't happened since. The devil took care of that. Some of his family was saved under... Oh, the guy in Mount Zion. I shouldn't even start this. Alexander Dowie. Even though he went off in the wrong direction in the end, thought he was Elijah to come. A lot of that fruit out of his ministry came into John G. Lake's ministry. It traveled right on down the line. He took a different approach to having the healthiest city in the nation. He decided to segregate and start his own city. The problem with that is that we're supposed to go out into all the world and not isolate ourselves. That's why a culture, a commune, something like that is not God's will, because he doesn't want you separate. You have to live in this world, but he gives you victory, to walk in victory over the things of this world while you're in this world, that his glory may shine through you to the people of this world. That's what it's all about. But I could handle that. Ulysses, Kansas, most healthy city in the nation. Say, well, can you see that? Yeah, I can see that because God said it. He already done it once, past history. But he said it in his word, which is the most important thing. And that's what matters. Hallelujah. Well, turn with me. I don't know. Let's see. I got about four different chapters here. Let's see what pops up here. In fact, I just covered John 17. Let's go ahead and go there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, I understand. I think one of the biggest things I've had lately to deal with, it's nothing new. I've had to deal with it in the past, have to deal with it in the future. I'm not concerned about it. I'm just saying that probably it could hit home to about anybody in this place. And I told the people that went to Peru, I said, whenever you get back, I said, once we got back, I said, now that you're back, I said, now you're going to take about a week, maybe 2 weeks, and you better get into a lot of prayer, because the enemy's going to come, and you're going to be riding on this high from Peru, and the enemy's going to come, and he's going to try to not only steal your joy, but he's going to try to stomp it in the ground, grind it in with his heel, kick it about three or four times, covered up with dust. You can't find it. I didn't say it exactly that way, but that's what it was intended to say. Because every time I bring a bunch back from Peru, and boy, they're riding high, you know, got their lives changed, and they should be. But every time that happens, he immediately comes to steal the word, steal what's happened. See, the things that happen, the miracles and the signs and wonders, all of those things are his word. And the Word says that he comes immediately to steal the Word out of your heart. And so he'll come and he'll tromp on them. Some of them, boy, they'll just meet devastation in their finances. That's just like, you know, I see people here, you know, they'll come up and they'll give me special offerings and they'll be on fire for God, and boy, I just want to give this. Man, here's my whole bank account. Just take it. You know, they'll take that approach, you know. Well, I want to help in this and I want to help in that. Boy, immediately the enemy comes, slaps them upside the head. 2 or 3 weeks later, they won't even speak to me. See, this stuff doesn't happen by accident. He comes immediately to steal the word out of your heart. He comes immediately to steal that thing that God has done in your life. He comes immediately to steal and destroy, because if he doesn't, you'll end up leading this whole city into revival. He can't let you get away. He can't let you get away. And Jesus, he knew what was about to come. He knew that the Holy Spirit would be poured out. I was thinking the other day, because, you know, I found a lot of prejudice in this, racial prejudice in this city. It's full of it. I mean, it's had pastors. They were very prejudiced, but not many people knew about them. I may be the only one that knew about it. They were very prejudiced. I was thinking the other day, it's so good that he's not prejudiced, because if he was prejudiced, if God was prejudiced like people are, I wouldn't even be saved. I'm not no Jew of Israel. And that's the first that he was called to. Romans chapter 11 says not to be too proud, because just as you were grafted in on this tree, brought in, adopted into this family, grafted onto this vine, you can be cut off. I think, man, I'm glad I'm not prejudiced. You know, I'm just glad God's not prejudiced. I'm glad he's not prejudiced against white Americans. I'm glad he's not prejudiced against Hispanic. I'm glad he's not prejudiced against the blacks, whatever. Well, I'm so glad, because, you know, if he was prejudiced, you know, we wouldn't even be born again.
Well, I got to have a Hispanic pastor. I can't.
Why don't you just admit that you're a little bit prejudiced?
Well, I just think, you know, they should have their church and us white Americans should have our church.
Why don't you just admit it? You need deliverance. Boy, you don't play no favorites, do you, Pastor? No, I don't. Sin is sin. That's what the Word says. I was thinking about that the other day, probably for a reason. Because it's a stronghold that I have to tear down in this city. How do you do that? Just like I was doing right then. The Word goes in and it divides truth from darkness. Which brings me to John chapter 17. You thought I forgot about it, didn't you? Verse 15. Think this is... No, I want to back up just a little bit. Man, I want to back up all the way. Man, that's good. Let's go to 16. Anyhow. Verse 6, he says, I'm going to skip a little bit around here. I've manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. You say, well, now how did they keep his word? I mean, you know, they've done a lot of things. I mean, how did they keep his word? What did the skit say this morning? Now, we're talking about the disciples. Jesus hadn't hung on the cross yet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I love it. I love what I see. He hadn't hung on the cross yet. They hadn't received salvation. They're yours. They've kept your word. What did the skit say? I decided to follow Jesus. Well, one day they left him, Pastor. thank God for the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that they were able to come back. They have kept His word because they followed Jesus. See, salvation was at work then. He just didn't recognize it. I can show you it at work in the Old Testament. Not today. They have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. They followed me. They have become assured that I come forth from the throne of God. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. I do not pray for the world. Well, that means the world's going to be lost if somebody doesn't pray for them. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. It's the only way He's going to be glorified is through you and I. See, that's how He set it up. See, we want to think, oh, He's sovereign. Hey, He'll just drop in on Pastor's lap when he goes to Peru. You know. No, unless that glorification is at work in me. Only to the extent that that glorification is at work in me will it be exhibited in Peru. Because if it was a sovereign thing and He just dropped down in my lap and gave me all that sovereignty at one moment, then everybody would have got up out of the wheelchair instead of one or two not getting up. Everybody of the lame would have walked instead of a few not walking, even though many did. Any of those that were blind all would have healed instead of some of them going away with cataracts and blindness. See, that glorification has to work in you and I. The extent that it's working in you and I is the extent that it'll be exhibited and manifested to the world that Jesus will be glorified. There's a little bit of glorification at work in Benny Hinn. A little bit more than Charlie Rogers or some of the others. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. These are in the world. These are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Now listen, he said, while he was in the world, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. He was the thing that was keeping them while he was there. Basically saying, I'm going to leave and something else is going to have to keep it. Glory be to God forever. I'm glad that it's that way.
Don't you wish that Jesus would show up here?
Yeah, for visitation. But I don't want Him to replace the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what's keeping me in this world. Without it, I'm powerless, really. I've got salvation to go to heaven, but without the Holy Spirit working in my life, I'm powerless over this world. It'll overpower me. Every day my emotions will go haywire. Something has to help me. All these circumstances and job problems and family problems, not-headed husbands, witch of a wife, all of those things that I have to face every day, I have to have something to get through this world. Something's got to be there to keep me. Well, if Jesus was here instead of the Holy Spirit and He was over in Jerusalem, who would keep me here in the U.S.? Hallelujah. Maybe that's not important to you. It just excites me. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those who you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray. Now listen to this. He's not going to separate you out from facing what you're facing. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Now here's the answer. Here's the answer to override what he just got through saying. I'm leaving them in the world, and I pray that they be kept from the evil one. Not taken out of the world, not lifted out of circumstances and facing this world and what this world has to offer, facing it and being victorious. No, no. Here's what he says. He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. Now, there's that word sanctify. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, and since they're of myself, now I'm just, you can write, you know, you're not going to write fast enough to put this in your Bible. But I'm just adding to this verse so you'll understand it better. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, because if I sanctify myself, then since they're of me, then they'll be sanctified. And since I'm the manifested Word, the only way that they can be sanctified is through my Word. Let's see what he says. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. What is the truth? The truth in the Word of God. It's the truth in the Word of God that'll bring life to your very bones, bring life to your very body, bring life to your emotions, in control of them, overriding them, turning them toward God. It's that Word, that life, the edification of that born-again spirit. Bring it up above the soul and the flesh realm, that it'll be in control of your life instead of your emotions, instead of your intellect. He said, I sanctify them because I'm sanctified. And He was the Word. He is truth. And you know, it's kind of like this. Let me give you an illustration before we get into a way to be sanctified. To true sanctification. Of course, to true sanctification, because that's a religious term thrown about too loosely. Most preachers don't even know what sanctification means, let alone should they be preaching on it. It just sounds like a good word. I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. You might be filled with the Holy Ghost, but I question your sanctification. I know I'm not popular. I know that. Neither was Jesus. All of them left Him one day. All of them but the disciples, He turned around to them and said, are you going to leave me next? I've said that a few times here, in case you haven't caught it. Anyhow, here's a good illustration. You as a believer, you're sanctified, you think, and filled with the Holy Ghost. You're riding high. You shout amen, you clap, you worship God, you just, you know, you just put on a good show. And you know, you should. You should do those things in order that you move yourself into that place, your emotional realm, soul realm, to turn toward God. That's part of it. You create your soul. Goodness, you can't just say, I'm going to kill it. I used to think you could kill yourself. Throw it aside. You can't do that. It comes right back. Because He created it. But you can turn it toward God, the one that did create. Part of what we're talking about. So hang with me. You have this, as a believer, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you have this cornfield. And this cornfield is out there by itself. You're standing in the middle of it. You're standing in the middle of this cornfield, and you own this cornfield. And it's 80 acres of corn. And all of a sudden, a fire out of nowhere, by coincidence. Remember, you're a sanctified, Holy Ghost filled believer, walking in the prosperity of God. What I sow, I reap. I sow this morning, this harvest. So you're standing in the middle of this harvest. by coincidence on the north end. Out of nowhere, just by coincidence. Wasn't it just coincidence that whenever we decided once again to get back on track and try to go deeper into worship and push everybody in, wasn't it by coincidence that Junior's bosses almost tried to make him work on today? What a coincidence. You believe that, Pastor? Not for a second. I've been around too long. He can't fool me with that stuff anymore. I put that behind way back there. So you're standing in the middle of this cornfield. Boy, you're prosperous. You just feel like you're on top of the world. And all of a sudden, on the north end, a fire breaks out of nowhere by coincidence. And the corn is ready for harvest, so it's somewhat dry. So, I mean, here comes this fire. It's sweeping through this cornfield. And all of a sudden, you realize not only is it sweeping through this cornfield, but you're going to burn up with it. So you start backing up. You start backing up sideways, going to the southwest. Due southwest. Now, you got this picture yet? You got to get this picture now. We're in that cornfield. Come back with me now. We're in this cornfield. It's on fire. And you're backing up to the corner, and it's pressing in. Oh, I'm a sanctified Holy Ghost believer filled with the Holy Ghost. I walk in prosperity. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, I'll overcome. Because that's what the Word says. I can't remember the rest of that verse, but I know there was some more to that verse, but I'll just go ahead with, I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I wished I knew the rest of that verse. I get the picture, because I know the rest of that verse. You're backing up, and here's this fire still coming down upon you. You forget that it's burning up all your cornfield. Right now, you just want to save me. I just want to survive. Forget the cornfield. Just let me survive, Lord. Let me get through this, Jesus. I just need your mercy and grace. Oh, for heaven to come right now. I just need to survive, Jesus. Just get me out of this, Jesus. I'll never do anything bad again. I'll never keep one foot in the world and one foot with you, Jesus, if you'll just get me out of this time. And you're backing up, and the fire's going. It's raging. And all of a sudden, you stop in the corner, and you're at the edge of your field. You're going to cross into your neighbor's, and you can't do that. Because your neighbor, he's built in a fence. So you can't cross the fence. You back up against the fence. Just thought I'd throw that in there. It's not for this time, but I just thought I'd throw it in there. That's for your neighbor who built the fence. Of course, you caused him to build it. So all of a sudden, you back up in this corner in this chair that Chuck is sitting. You find out that the fire is all around that chair, but it's not touching the chair. So all the corn stalks that you got left is right there where that chair is. So the fire stops, you're saved, and you got corn stalks about 16 inches by 30, 28. That's all you got. Those corn stalks are not this big. Out of all that 80 acres, do you know what? You didn't have that 80 acres. All you had was that small square to begin. Because all that was sanctified was that small square. You say, why do you say that? Because he said, I pray that the evil one, that they be protected from the evil one. How? Through sanctification, through my word, through truth. And so the only part that the evil one through that fire couldn't take over was that square. The only part in your life that was sanctified. Listen, you ended up with a handful, maybe an armload, of corn stalks out of 80 acres. That's all you had to begin with. You didn't have any more than that. You thought you did. It looked good. It looked good, but when it came down to it, you didn't have any more corn stalks than that. But you did have those. I thank God for the arm load that I had. Now what I want to do is increase the arm load. I want the sanctification to increase.
I thought it came all at once.
You'd have kept the 88. He said, those that are sanctified by truth, be protected from the evil one. He justified it on down there after he said, I pray that they be protected from the evil one. He went on down. The only reason a person doesn't get there is because they choose not to get there. Well, you don't understand. I can't tell it now. No, you don't understand. You don't want too bad. You don't understand. I can't make these services. No, the reason you can't is because you don't want to. Now, I realize there's job circumstances. But I tell you what, God can take care of that. Sanctified in that area, start believing yourself out of that area, he'll change it. Well, you can not only make every service, you can start helping back there in children's church and a few other things around here that you're called to and not the pastor.
I thought this was your church.
This is yours and God's church. I'm just here as the borough. So all you had really was that square there, the size of that chair of corn stalks to begin with. And so then you have to admit, first thing out, first way out, first step to go out of that mess and to be able to keep the enemy from devouring your finances or devouring your marriage or devouring your peace in your life. The first step out is to admit that that's all you had to begin with. I ain't as far along as I thought. I don't care. If I do go to the First Zion, Third Baptist, Second Wing of the Assembly, Pentecostal, Third Holiness, Left Wing Right, whatever. I ain't as far along as I thought. I don't care if I do have a bunch of certificates that I paid $3,500 for to ordination, receive ordination. We don't charge that here for that. Roger's saying it's a good thing because I'm going to ordain him and Juanita here. I think it's the second. This next second Sunday of this next month. They don't know it. Just now found out. Anyhow, because I just knew it one day. Maybe I'm not as far. Maybe I'm not in the place that I thought I was. But I'd like to be in that place. I don't like what I go through. I don't like being destroyed in my emotions every time I turn around. I don't like just getting on top of my bills financially and all of a sudden something else hits. And a lady emailed me this week and said, I can't get on top because every time I try, something else happens. It just keeps rolling on and piling up. I don't know what to do. I'm so tired. Oh, I just gave her the same message I've been giving her for 3 or 4 years. Because it's the only answer. See, we want, well, that answer don't work. Let's try another one. While we're at it, let's go through McDonald's and grab some fries and go on. I wished that you had it that easy. I wish that I could lie to you like a lot of others have. Say that it was that easy. Well, he did provide a way, but it's not necessarily so easy for you to start when you're fighting flesh and emotion every day that keeps you from going into God. I'd like to lie to you, so just keep riding your tithe check. It'll be okay. Sit there, make sure you come in on Sunday morning and write your tithe check. You'll be okay. I'd like to lie to you and say that's all right. It's not. I may be the only one in this city that thinks that, but it's not. I don't know what to do. I know what's being taught. I know what I have to deal with nationwide and on an international basis. It's not all right. Sit in a chair and write your tithe check. One day. Call it your tithe check. So anyhow, I'd like to know how. Well, turn to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Starting about verse 26. We really should back up, cover the whole chapter, but we're not. I'm going to wind it up here in just a second. I just wanted you to know that that corner in that cornfield that you ended up with was all that you had. And that fight for those finances, while that fire was sweeping in, you could have stopped it. Every time the finances are being eroded by the enemy, devoured by the enemy, every time the peace is being devoured by the enemy, it can be stopped. That fire that's moving through the cornfield can be stopped. He's a defeated foe. We're here not to defeat him again. We're here to enforce the defeat that Jesus already gave us. You need to start getting a different image. We're going to go back into some of this here in the near future. You need to start getting a different image about what you're here on earth for. You're here to enforce His defeat, to stop Him in His tracks. That He not go any farther. That He not continue to devour your finances. That He not continue to devour your peace. That He not continue to devour your marriage. That He not continue to devour your family. That's what we're here for. Yeah, it is a time to clap right now. Hallelujah. That's what we're here for. Oh boy. Have I been taught wrong? You most certainly have. You're here to stop Him. You can't say, well, He doesn't exist, or He has no effect. I'm a fake person. He has no effect on me. You see me, He has no effect on me. Why are you just standing holding one corn stalk then if He has no effect on you? You've got one ear of corn. Is that all you planted? Well, I'd be ashamed if that's all you planted.
No, I planted more.
Well, where's it at?
I'm a fake person. He doesn't exist. I'm a fake person. He has no effect on me.
Why, you just got one ear. Why, you just got one ear on your head? No, I'm just kidding. Why? Why? What are you going to do about it? You're here to enforce the defeat of the enemy, not Him enforce Himself on you. We're not here for that. God's got something else in mind. Well, I know you're wanting to eat, so I'll get on with it. Anyhow, Romans 8, verse 26. Well, start in verse 24 there. By the way, I believe that the children should obey their parents, and I believe that they should learn that there's a right time to listen and an okay time to full of energy. In the future, I just ask that everybody just kind of try to keep the kids at certain times, like during offering time, altar calls, healing times, keep them kind of corralled. Give the Holy Ghost a little bit of attention on it. We've been real lax in that area. I haven't said nothing until now. And the only reason I'm saying it now is because He stopped me over there and told me. I just don't move on things like that just because my flesh might be aggravated, but I won't move on it. Because I don't want to do anything out of the Holy Spirit that would hurt you, but I know that if it's by the Holy Spirit, that your attention will be God and it'll be taken care of. And I'm not going to take care of it because I'm not their parent. I'm just your burrow. Hallelujah. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not, and by the way, you know, we could use some help in kids' church and in the nursery. You Anybody want to volunteer? God is speaking to your heart. Come to my wife, Shelley. Shelley, stand up so they can look at you. What's this got to do with the message? Plenty. Sanctifying you by His Word. Anyhow, if God lays that on your heart, please don't hesitate to be obedient. He might be wanting to do a blessing in your life. More likely He is. Verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not that is seen is not hope. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance.
And I want it right now. God, you got to move me into that place right now that I have full income coming in without having to work so I can lay around and use the excuse to pray and become a minister. You got to do it that way. I need it right now. You got to give it to me right now. You're supposed to give it to me right now. You're supposed to pay off all my debts right now. Even though, Lord, you didn't cause those debts, I did. You're supposed to pay for them right now.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. What weaknesses? What I just got to be talking about. Laziness, wrong thinking, wrong doctrine. Not able to save your cornfield. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for those who are
for good, those who love God. All things work together. Sickness. I got cancer. It'll work together for good.
To those who are called according to His purpose. I'm sorry, folks. I have trouble with a lot of that stuff. Now, God didn't put nothing on you like sickness, like poverty. He didn't put none of that on you. Man, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. By His stripes you were healed, that He took on your poverty that you might have the riches of heaven. But you have the peace of mind because He overcame the world. He didn't call. He didn't put any of that stuff on you. He's your answer. Not your problem. Who are called to the according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among the brethren. Let's read it one more time. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, our infirmities, is what one version says. That's an infirm thing in your life. Something that is not solid. Something that is not sanctified by the Word. That's an infirm thing. Something that's not sanctified. Most of that cornfield that burned up, all of that burned up, was an infirm thing. It was a weakness. It was an infirm thing. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been burned up. It wasn't sanctified. You only had what you had left around you whenever the fire stopped, and that's what was sanctified. That was the part that wasn't infirm. It had become strong, founded on what? On the rock. What's the rock? The Word of God.
I thought it was Jesus.
He is the Word. So it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That intercession that is made on the inside of you whenever you began to pray in other tongues, and I'm just going to assume here that everybody here is filled with the Holy Ghost. That everybody here is sanctified because we gave a call earlier. And everybody said that they were saved, that they were going to heaven, that they knew God, that they hadn't broken relationship, that they were okay. You said that before God. When you did not respond, when I gave that call, you said that before God. So I'm just going to assume that. Now I'm going to assume one other thing, and if this one thing I assume is not right, we'll give you a chance to make that right before it's over with. But I'm going to assume here that this whole congregation is born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I say filled with the Holy Spirit, I mean with the evidence, like in the book of Acts, speak with other tongues. So he said, whenever the Spirit makes intercession for you, he makes intercession according to the will of God. In other words, that intercession won't vary. It won't be a bad thing. It'll be everything, even though our flesh might not like it and thinks it's a bad thing. Our emotions say, I don't want to preach. And the Spirit of God is saying, you're called to preach. You're called to preach. You're called to preach. I don't want 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 a pastor. I don't want a pastor. Go to Kansas. I don't want a pastor. I don't want to. I don't want to. It's flat out there. There's nothing but maize. There's nothing but milo and cornfields. I don't want to. It's wheat as far as the eye can see. It's flat. It stinks. There's hog farms. There's feedlots all around. It stinks. Lord, can you even smell? It stinks. Can't you send somebody else to the edge of hell? I don't want a pastor. Well, I'm just being honest with you. I didn't get many volunteers to come out here and pastor. Now, if you'd have been Branson, Missouri, you know, a bunch of tourist attractions, lots of water surrounding, I'd have had all kinds of offers.
Can I go out and help you, pastor, free of charge?
I'm just telling you how it is. Don't get mad about that. So he'll make intercession to you. You cannot be wanting to do something in your flesh, but it'd still be a good thing because God is wanting you to do it. So it's good to hear him and to be obedient, but he'll make intercession according only to the will of God. How he predestined for Pastor Charlie's life, for Junior's life, for Ruby's life, for Chuck's life, according to the will of God. The intercession made by the Spirit of God in your born-again spirit. That intercession made through other tongues. When you pray in other tongues, you can take an hour out each day. And no, I'm not talking about this so-called, I shouldn't say that. I'm not talking about this vein of the Holy Spirit in which some make true intercession with groanings and, you know, and things like that, and they don't know what they're praying for. I'm not talking about that when they're making intercession for a country. I'm talking about when you pray in other tongues and that intercession kicks in for you. For you. And that's most of the intercession made in the body. That type of intercession. Letty, you're really changing. You're really getting healed and changed. You may not feel like it this morning, but let me tell you something. You're really getting healed and changed. He just spoke to me. He said, she's changing. I looked at him and said, she's changing. I thought, well, Lord, you got a message here with me. That intercession that you make through praying in other tongues is being made according to the will of God. That's why you can move out of that place that you're not sanctified, and now all of a sudden, through the Word of God, you can be washed clean because of this prayer language and prayer. You can be washed clean and gain that ground back that the enemy sends the fire over every time you plant the patch. You plant the patch of corn, he comes through and burns it. You can put a stop to that. But you'll not put a stop to it walking in the place that you're walking in right now. You've got to move out of that place. And you say, well, I thought it was being sanctified by the Word. What do you think praying in other tongues is? It says when you pray in another tongue, you pray down the mind of Christ. What is Christ? He's the Word of God. Whenever you begin to pray in other tongues, an hour a day, you begin to pray yourself little by little. It doesn't come overnight. Man, you didn't get in the shape you're in overnight. You didn't lose that cornfield overnight. I want to be sanctified in truth. I do too. That's why I pray in tongues a lot, plus some other things like worship, meditating the Word, but I pray in tongues more than anything I pray in tongues. because I know that I'm praying according to the will of God, that His will come into my life and I'll be sanctified. I'll be washed clean of filthy doctrine, of wrong things in my life. I'll be washed clean because I'm praying down the mind of Christ upon my mind, upon my life. And then I'm washed and sanctified in His truth, and I can stop the fire in the cornfield. Maybe I can only stop it 2/3 of the way and then half the way. But eventually, I'll save the cornfield. And then, He'll give me another cornfield. Why should He give me another cornfield when I can't save the cornfield I got? If it's burning up, why should He give me another cornfield?
Well, I just don't agree with you.
I don't care. Stay the way you were the last 10 years. Or you can change. Nobody else has been able to give you the answer. You tried everything else that came on TBN. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I knew this was going to be a good message. I knew that He wanted to say something. I just had to follow along with Him and not be pressured into speeding up too much. You know, you pressure me. Not everybody. I'll take that back. You don't pressure me, because I won't let you. Try. Well, I'm just telling you how it is. That's the way congregations work. It's not knowingly. A lot of times. But when the Holy Spirit wants to say something, I have to follow with it so it can get it out. Because if you've got half a message, now how many is going to remember the cornfield being burned up? None of you? Lift your hand if you're going to remember the cornfield being burned up. If you're going to remember the cornfield. Remember the cornfield, you'll remember the rest of it. Stopping Him 2/3 of the way, stopping Him half the way, stopping Him all the way and getting another cornfield. It's called God's increase through sanctification by the Word. Where the Holy Spirit and your born again spirit make intercession for your life, that the Word of God will begin to override other things and sanctify you, that you can make your stand. And when you speak to the devil and say, "Devil, you've got to stop at the edge of the cornfield. You can't go in the cornfield." Then he has to stop because you're walking in that place. If he doesn't stop, then you've got to admit, I'm not at the place of sanctification like I thought I was. Tough, I know. Well, I could send you off with a cancer patient and lock you in a room and I'll let you out.
I think I'll stick with this. At least you're going to let me eat in a little bit.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Right now, I want you to lift your hands, just begin to worship God.